chosen from motorcars. At last, here in Trinidad, we see capitalism gone mad. It's sad and getting more bad, because doo-doo, capitalism gone mad.
Listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM in the Portland area and all over the world at KBOO.FM.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available at our website at kboo.fm. The Finance Committee meets on the third Thursday of the month at 5:30 p.m. This month's meeting will be held online through a public video conference. A public link and phone number to attend the meeting can be found at our website at kboo.fm. Please visit our website to verify if a meeting is being held.
Pacifica Radio in San Francisco, this is Flashpoints. I'm Dennis Bernstein. Today on the show, we continue our drumbeat coverage of the Bernie Sanders AOC Fight the Oligarchy Tour. Nearly 40,000 cheering people greeted Bernie and AOC in Los Angeles yesterday. We keep tracking these tours and these presentations because they really represent the country at its roots, rising up and fighting back. It's an amazing tour, and stay tuned, because here it comes.
My name is Alexandria, and some of you may know me as AOC. And from the bottom of my heart, thank you for welcoming me to Los Angeles. And also, happy Passover to all of our friends celebrating this weekend. Thank you. You know, we're all here together because we share in the frustration and heartache that comes from watching those in power actively tear down or refuse to fight for everyday working Americans like us. And we are here together because an extreme concentration of power, greed, and corruption is taking over this country like never before. Oligarchy in America. And we must acknowledge the terrifying moment that we are in right now. And that what we are hearing and seeing with our own eyes is, in fact, happening. We are watching our neighbors, students, and friends being fired, targeted, and disappeared. It is real. People we love are being targeted and harassed for being trans or queer. Our coworkers, US citizens and immigrants alike, are being disappeared off the street by men in vans with no uniform. Educators are being fired for teaching American history accurately, and activists are being detained with no charge or evidence for using their First Amendment rights, especially when they use them for Palestinians. In fact, the Trump administration admits that it has jailed Mahmoud Khalil, a young husband and father from New York, without any evidence or charge of a crime. The Trump administration admits that they have thrown Mahmoud in a cell thousands of miles away because he attended a protest and are detaining him for the content of his speech and nothing more. In fact, Donald Trump's detention of someone like Mahmoud Khalil for his speech is anti-American. And we demand his release, along with the release of Rumeysa Ozturk, who he is also jailing for writing an op-ed in her school paper. And we demand their release because we, Los Angeles, we do have power in this moment. All of us do, and everyday people do. In fact, you all showed that this week, LA. A few days ago, ICE officials attempted to enter two LAUSD schools to target kids. They lied to school officials and claimed that they had parents' permission to get to these children when they didn't. But it wasn't just a lawyer or a judge that said no. It started with everyday people, school staff, and employees who spoke up when they felt something was off. And it was the teachers and principals that stood strong and said no to protect their kids when it could have been easier to say yes out of fear. You defended them, LA, because it will never be just institutions and officials alone that uphold our democracy. It will always be the people, the masses, who refuse to comply with authoritarian regimes, who are the last and strongest defense of our country and our freedoms. Because we know, Los Angeles, that a better world is possible. And we are willing to do something about it. But to get there, we need to be honest about how we got to this place. Because this moment did not come out of nowhere. It has been a long time coming. The destruction of our rights and democracy is directly tied to the growing and extreme wealth inequality that has been building for years in America. It is not a coincidence that billionaires like Elon Musk dumped billions of dollars in this election to elect Trump. And I'll tell you, LA, he sure as hell isn't doing that out of charity. For years, we have known that our political system has slowly but surely become dominated by big money and billionaires. Time after time, we have seen and experienced how our government and laws are more responsive to lobbyists than to the will of everyday people. And we also know that the agenda of dark money to keep wages low and to loot our public goods to give to the rich is deeply unpopular with people of all backgrounds, all parties, and all places. Just look at what Republicans have been quietly doing in Congress. They have been voting just this week to advance cuts on hundreds of billions of dollars from Medicaid and veterans benefits and Social Security so that they can take that money and give it to the billionaires who elected them in the form of tax cuts and sweetheart government contracts to companies like SpaceX. And you know who voted for that from California, by the way? David Valadeo of California's 22nd, Young Kim of California's 40th, and Ken Calvert of California's 41st. They know that that's not what you want. They know that it is deeply unpopular. They know that it hurts you, but they are not here to serve us. They are here to serve themselves and the billionaires who have paid them, oligarchy. And they know that the only chance they have to get away with such an unpopular agenda, to get away with stealing in plain view, is to stoke deep divisions among us along lines of race, identity, and culture, to keep us fighting and distracted. This has been the big money playbook, not just now, but for decades. And that is why Donald Trump is not an aberration. He is the logical, inevitable conclusion of an American political system dominated by corporate and dark money. And if we are here to defeat him, we must defeat the system that created him. Money in politics is the hand of oligarchy, Los Angeles. And we are at a crossroads. We can either have extreme wealth inequality with the toxic division and corruption that it requires to survive, or we can have a fair economy that guarantees healthcare to all for working people, along with a democracy and freedoms that uphold it. Oligarchy or democracy, but we cannot have both. Los Angeles, I've made my choice. We must fight the oligarchy that has created this nightmare. And that is why I have never taken money from lobbyists or corporations, and it's why I never will. You know, when I first got to Congress, I was genuinely shocked by how this place worked. Even having run against dark money on a campaign against it in the first place, the everyday influence of corruption and dark money was astonishing, how normalized it is. In fact, Congress and members of Congress have somehow conditioned itself to actually believe that it is normal for elected representatives who swear an oath to the American people to day trade individual stocks that make millions with the sensitive information that we are entrusted with for the purpose of governing. How can anyone possibly make an objective vote on healthcare, energy, or war when their personal money is tied up in pharmaceutical, oil and gas, or defense company stocks? They can't. You can't. And we saw this play out this week with Trump's corrupt and disastrous tariff scheme. I hope that we all see now that the White House's tariff shuffle here didn't have anything to do with manufacturing like they claimed. It was about manipulating the markets. It was about hurting retirees and everyday people in the sell-off so Trump could quietly enrich his friends who he nudged to buy the dip before reversing it all in the morning. Donald Trump is a criminal. A criminal found guilty of 34 felony counts of fraud.
Of course, he is lying and manipulating the stock market too.
He is at his best making himself, the billionaires who back him, and the members of Congress who trade with him rich. Not you, not me, not the people. And to be clear, I don't care what party you are, Democrat or Republican. I don't care what position one holds. Members of Congress and elected officials holding and trading individual stock is wrong. It must end, and we must ban it. But I'll give you another example of how shocking and casual this all was when I was first elected. Just this year, I was elected, or I was named and appointed to the powerful Energy and Commerce Committee. This is one of the most powerful committees in all of Congress. And for years, lobbyists worked to keep me off this committee. It oversees two-thirds of the American economy, healthcare, energy, technology, trade. As they say in Congress, if it moves, it's energy. If it doesn't, it's commerce. And that's the jurisdiction of this committee. And an interesting thing that happened was that the day I was named to this committee, the same day, my office's phones rang off the hook and our inboxes were flooded by every corporate lobbyist under the sun. They all wanted to be my best friend. But you know what, Los Angeles? Because of your support, because of you all showing up, because I don't have to take a dime in corporate money, you allow me to say no. But not everyone is so lucky. I have seen firsthand how these groups bully and pressure members of Congress, threatening to either take money away or spend it against them if they don't do what they want. And what they want is for our lives to be as expensive as possible on the lowest possible wage. It all trickles down to how life feels for working people today. These facts of life, the feeling of the water rising up to our throats, the impossibility to afford anything easily, the fear of speaking up, the deeply bitter and toxic division driven more by algorithms on social media than individual thought, the crumbling of our rights and protections. Understand that all of this is what it means and what it feels like to be governed by billionaires. This is what oligarchy feels like, and it only will get worse until we act. It is this system that relies on division to legislate greed that has brought us the most corrupt administration in American history and the Republican majorities to support it. Big money is how we got Donald Trump. And his whole presidency began with launching tools for bribery, meme coins to fleece working people and move around money in the dark, extortion settlements from media companies and law firms who gladly pay them. The removal of duly elected officials on Inauguration Day. Donald Trump removed duly elected officials from the chamber in order to make space for who's really in charge behind, who were the billionaires who sat behind him. They have one central economic mission: to make billionaires richer at the expense of the United States of America. And it does not surprise us that their first economic mission has been to target Medicaid, Medicare, and Social Security, to fire our federal workers and fleece and abandon our veterans so that they can hand that money off to the billionaires who are backing them. But this isn't just about the Republican attacks on working people, LA. We need a Democratic Party that fights harder for us too. And that means our communities, all of us coming together, choosing and voting for Democrats and elected officials who know how to stand for the working class. And LA, I want to thank you for working very hard and doing your best to try to make that happen. In fact, last month, when other Democrats caved, your senators, Alex Padilla and Adam Schiff, stood strong against the DC pressure and voted against the Republican spending bill to cut billions for working people. In fact, all of your Democratic members of Congress and all of your members here today voted against that bill too. Defend them, LA, and don't stop there. I want you to look at every level of office around and support Democrats who actually fight, because those are the ones who can actually defeat Republicans. So folks, you know what that means. We have to start working now to give David Valadao, Young Kim, and Ken Calvert the boot and replace them with a brawling Democrat who will stand for the working people of California. But beyond elections, LA, our task is to build community. Block associations, volunteer groups, church organizations, PTAs, activist organizations, because community is the most powerful building block we have to defeat authoritarianism and root out corruption. This is the path to guaranteeing health care to every American, to establish a living minimum wage, to take on skyrocketing rents and mortgages, to tackle the climate crisis, and establish a country where the American dream is actually possible for all of us. I come from a working class family. My mom cleaned houses. My dad worked to start a small business, and they worked so hard just to make life possible a little bit better for my brother and I. And when I was a teenager, my dad was diagnosed with cancer. He passed away before I was even 20 years old, and the rug was pulled out from us, all in the middle of the 2008 recession. So many of us live like this. One accident, one bad day, one piece of bad news away from our lives falling apart. We don't have to live like this anymore, Los Angeles. We can stand with one another and stand for ourselves. And we might come from different places, but we share the same experiences. So to all who came here today unsure of whether this is where you belong, I want to say that you do. No matter if you have all the right words to say, no matter your race, religion, gender identity, or status, no matter if you disagree with me on some things, but if you are willing to fight for someone that you don't know, you are welcome here. If you are willing to fight for working people regardless of who they are, how they identify, you are welcome here, because here, everyone is valued. But we have to stand together. We cannot be tempted to turn in our neighbors or be fooled into thinking that we are really that much different from a trans kid who wants to get accepted by their friends. That we're that different from a dreamer who worked to go to college and try to provide for their family. That we're that different from anyone who's not like us. Hate is a trap that sinks us all. And it is standing together without exception to reject division. That is the only way we can win. It's the only way we can win. So I hope you see that this movement is not about partisan labels or purity tests, but it's about class solidarity. It is about the thousands of you who came out here today to stand together and say our lives deserve dignity and our work deserves respect.
no matter who we are. We are here to make a sacred promise to each other. And our goal today is to commit to building the kind of country we all deserve. And we will make that promise to take care of each other on our worst days and to share in the successes of our best. Thank you so much, Los Angeles. And it is my honor here today to introduce someone who has dedicated his life to bringing us together. So let's get loud and let's be grateful because Senator Bernie Sanders is in the building. Come on down, Bernie.
And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. We are broadcasting a speech that AOC and Bernie Sanders gave yesterday in Los Angeles to almost 40,000 people. It was amazing, and it continues now with Bernie.
There are people a half a mile away. It's not Bernie, it is you. Let me thank our brothers and sisters in the trade union movement for being here. Let me thank Unite Here, LIUNA Local 724, ILWU, the Longshoremen, CNA Nurses, NNN Nurses, NUHW Kaiser Nurses, UTLA, UAW, California Labor Federation, AFL-CIO. And today we pledge with our brothers and sisters in the trade union movement, we are going to grow the movement. Millions of workers want to join unions because they know they're going to get better wages, better benefits, better working conditions. Let's do it. And I want to thank the musicians who have been with us today. So great. Ray's Gospel Choir, thank you. The Red Pears, Jeff Rosenstock, Indigo D'Souza, Dirty Projectors, Joan Baez, Maggie Rogers, Neil Young. And you know why we had all of these great musicians here today? It's not just to entertain you. It's more than that. We're going to make our revolution with joy. We're going to sing and dance our way to victory against hatred and divisiveness. So I want to thank all of the musicians who have been with us. And I want to thank the political leaders who have been here, Roe and Pramila and Jimmy, thank you. And mostly I want to thank all of you. And I want to tell you something. You are making Donald Trump. All right, we need a medic. Medic. Okay. Your presence here today, and by the way, there are some 36,000 of you. The largest rally that we have ever had. And your presence here today is making Donald Trump and Elon Musk very nervous. Last time we did a rally in Denver, a little bit smaller than this. Thank you, LA. Elon Musk announced that everybody at the rally, or most of the people, were paid organizers. Anybody here get paid to come today? And Donald Trump, very envious of sizes, he said, well, Bernie has rallies of 2,000 or 3,000 people, can't compete with Trump. He lied. So I invite the president to come to LA. Tell the people here why you think it's a great idea to cut Medicaid and nutrition and health care so you can give tax breaks to billionaires. The people of LA would love to hear that. So why are we here in LA today? And the answer is obvious. We are living in a moment of extraordinary danger. And how we respond to this moment will not only impact our lives, but will impact the lives of our kids and future generations. And in terms of the climate, it will depend, we can depend on whether or not the planet Earth survives. That's why we're here today. We're living at a moment where a handful of billionaires control the economic and political life of our country. We're living at a moment with a president who has no understanding or respect for the Constitution of the United States. And let us make no doubt about it, moving us rapidly toward an authoritarian form of society. And Mr. Trump, we ain't going there. We are living in a moment where the Republican Party has, to a large degree, become a cult of the individual, obeying Trump's every wish, and at a time of massive income and wealth inequality, right now as we speak, they are plotting about how they can give $1.1 trillion in tax breaks to the 1% and devastate programs that working families need. You know, it's funny, just yesterday, our good friend Elon Musk, Mr. Musk sent out a tweet, and in essence, he said, you know, Bernie Sanders has been talking about the growth of oligarchy year after year after year. Well, Elon, you're damn right. That's what I've been talking about. The difference is, I'm no longer talking about how we're moving to oligarchy, I'm talking about how we are living today in an oligarchic form of society. 3 months ago, when Trump was inaugurated, standing right behind him during his inauguration were the three wealthiest people in this country, Mr. Musk, Mr. Bezos, and Mr. Zuckerberg. And right behind them were 13 other billionaires who Trump had nominated to head up major federal agencies. And that, brothers and sisters, is what oligarchy is all about. You know, lately, given what's happening in America, I've been remembering the history lessons that I learned when I was in the sixth grade. And I remember, and I think many of you will recall, when you think about your education, you'll remember hearing about Abraham Lincoln on the fields of Gettysburg in 1863. And that was just a few days after 20,000 Union soldiers had either died or been wounded fighting against the nightmare of slavery. And Lincoln looked out on that field, and this is what he said, and you will all remember it. He said, quote, We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation under God shall have a new birth of freedom, and that government of the people, by the people, for the people shall not perish from the earth. And that is precisely why we are here today, to make sure that government of, by, and for the people does not perish, and that we do not become a government of the billionaire class, by the billionaire class, and for the billionaire class. The American people do not want the richest guy on earth running all over Washington, D.C., decimating the Social Security Administration, making it harder. It's the richest guy on earth, making it harder for old people with disabilities to get the benefits that they paid into. Proposing to lay off 83,000 workers at the Veterans Administration. Denying the health care that the men and women who put their lives on the line to defend us deserve. Slashing the Department of Education. Decimating USAID, which, by the way, means that hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of the most desperate people in this world will die as a result. And when we talk about oligarchy, it is not just economics. I trust that all of you know that you are living under a corrupt campaign finance system which allows billionaires to buy elections. Don't tell me about democracy when Musk himself can put $270 million to elect Donald Trump and then get rewarded with the most important position in government. But it's not just Musk and Republicans, it's the Democratic Party as well. Their billionaires tell candidates, don't stand up to the powerful special interest, and too many Democrats are listening to them. And that is why, if we want to preserve democracy in America, we've got to overturn this disastrous Citizens United Supreme Court decision. And we've got to move to public funding of elections. In America, one person, one vote, not billionaires buying elections. Let me tell you something about the oligarchs. They are very, very religious people. But their religion is not based on doing unto others as you would have them do unto you. Their religion is not based on love or justice. Their religion is based on greed, greed, and more greed. All over this country, in Vermont, California, all over this country, we have a serious problem with drug addiction, with alcoholism, with other forms of addiction. But in my honest opinion, the most serious addiction crisis we face is the addiction of the oligarchy toward greed. They got billions and billions of dollars. It's not enough. They need more. And if they have to step on the poor and the disabled and working class people, that is what they will do unless we stop them, and we will stop them. But it's not just oligarchy we are fighting. We're fighting... Okay. EMT... Raise your hand where the problem is. Okay, can we get somebody there? We got it, somebody? Okay, thank you. But it's not just oligarchy we are fighting. We're fighting a president who undermines our Constitution every day and threatens our freedom of speech and assembly, and whose agents are rounding up innocent people off the streets, putting them in unmarked vans, and throwing them in detention centers. That is what happens in dictatorships, not democracies. And we're going to stop that outrageous action on the part of the president. You know, our founding fathers of this country were no dummies. They wrote a constitution and established a form of government with a separation of powers. Remember what reading all about that? You got a legislative body, Congress. You got an executive branch, president. You got a judiciary, the federal courts. And they wrote that document because they had just fought a brutal war against the autocratic King of England. And what they understood as they were forming this new country, that they never wanted to see a nation where one person had unlimited power. Well, Trump wants that power. We are not giving it to him. Trump is suing the media because they say bad things about him. Oh, how horrible is that? He has sued ABC, CBS, Meta, the Des Moines Register. His FCC is investigating NPR and PBS. He loves the media when they fawn over him, but he can't take criticism. This from a guy who has made vulgar comments about his opponents. Hey, Mr. President, if you can't take criticism, get out of politics. That's what democracy is about. Trump is going after the powers of Congress. He is illegally abolishing agencies that Congress created. He's withholding funding that Congress has appropriated. He is establishing tariffs that he has no legal right to do. But it's not just the media and Congress that he's trying to intimidate. In an absolutely outrageous and unconstitutional way, he is going after the judiciary. His view is if a decision comes down from a judge that you don't like, you try to get rid of that judge and impeach him or her. He is going after law firms that have opposed him and his interest in the past, and disgracefully, a number of these law firms have caved in. He is going after universities. You know, the function of a university, school of higher education, is to pursue the truth, not to cave in to an authoritarian president to protect the federal grants they get. But it is not just Trump's and his administration's domestic policy that we should be concerned about. For the first time in our 250-year history, we have a president who is aligning himself with dictatorship abroad. No, Mr. Trump, Ukraine did not start that war. Putin and Russia did. We must lead the world in supporting democracies, not supporting Putin and dictatorships. Well, let me tell you something else. Trump wants over $8 billion more dollars to go to Netanyahu's war machine. Israel has a right to defend itself against terrorism, but it does not have a right to go to war against the entire Palestinian people. It does not have the right to kill 50,000 people, injure over 100,000, and destroy the entire infrastructure. And as bad as that is, Trump wants to expel the 2.2 million people in Gaza in order to create a playground for his billionaire friends. That is beyond insane, and we will never, never let that happen. Brothers and sisters, not just oligarchy and authoritarianism. Our job right now, at a time when the very richest people in America are becoming phenomenally richer, our job is to create an economy that works for all of us, not just the people on top. All right, I'm going to do something radical here. You ready? I'm going to tell the truth. I'm going to talk about what's really going on in America today, and that is we are living with two Americas. One America, the people on top, have never, ever in the history of our country had it so good. Today, we have more income and wealth inequality than we have ever had. The three wealthiest people own more wealth than the bottom half of American society, 170 million people. The top 1%. 1% owns more wealth than the bottom 90%, and the CEOs of major corporations now earn 300 times what their workers are making. Is there a medical issue? All right, we need an EMT there. Raise your hand, guys. But it's not just income and wealth inequality. We have more concentration of ownership today than we have ever had. We have a handful of corporations owning sector and sector of our economy. So that is one America. People on top doing phenomenally well. Let me tell you about the other America that you know very, very well. And that is that 60% of our people are living paycheck to paycheck. Anybody here living paycheck to paycheck? All right, unlike Donald Trump, I grew up in a family that lived paycheck to paycheck, so I know a little bit about that. And the result of living paycheck to paycheck is such, if you can believe it, that working class people in America die 7 years earlier than the rich. All right, I'm going to ask you a question. Why is that? All right, you got it. The answer is stress. If you got to worry every single day how you're going to feed your kids, how you're going to pay the rent, how you're going to make sure that your car doesn't break down so you can get to work, how you're going to afford to provide for your kid when your kid gets sick and needs to go to a doctor, how you have to work when your schedule is changed every day and you have a boss who doesn't care about you. When you live under those conditions day after day, year after year, it eats away at your body, it eats away in your mind. We need to create an economy where all of our people can live out their life expectancy in the way that they should. And you know why people all over this country are angry? In fact, some of them end up voting for Trump. Let me tell you something you don't hear much about in the corporate media or in the halls of Congress. Today, if you can believe it, despite a huge increase in worker productivity, real inflation accounted for wages are lower today than they were 52 years ago. So workers are producing more and more, but all of what they produce, all of the benefits are going to the top 1%. And during that same period, we have seen a $75 trillion transfer of wealth from the bottom 90% to the top 1%. Today in America, half of older workers have nothing in the bank as they face retirement. And 22% of our seniors are living on $15,000 a year or less, and 800,000 Americans are sleeping out on the streets. Today, as I look at this great crowd, I remember another rally that I attended. I wasn't up here, I was way, way back. And that was in 1963. I was in Washington for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s great I Have a Dream speech. And the truth is, while many, many problems remain, we should be proud that we have made significant progress in fighting racism. And I can remember several decades ago that in the United States Senate, there were all of two women, virtually no women governors, though very few women in the House. Hundreds of women died every year because they could not access legal abortions. I can remember growing up when young people who were gay were ashamed to acknowledge that and suffered in their silence. And nobody back then would have dreamed that we would achieve gay marriage in many states in this country. So my point is that we have made and should be proud of the fact that we have made progress in a number of enormously important areas. But we should also be conscious that in perhaps the most important issue, the economic struggle that so many Americans are now engaged in, we have lost ground. Back in 1944, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, one of the great presidents in the history of our country, he gave a State of the Union address. And this is what he said back in 1944. He said, you know what? We are a great country. We have a great constitution. We have freedom of speech, freedom of religion, etc. But what we need to add to that is to understand that economic rights are human rights. That if you can't afford to go to a doctor, doesn't really matter about voting. If you can't afford to feed your kids, freedom of assembly doesn't matter that much. He said economic rights are human rights. So today, in the year 2025, we have got to pick up that banner. Economic rights are human rights. Every single person is entitled to that. And this gets to a very fundamental issue. Musk and his friends see you as nothing more than workers to be disposed of. They got rid of tens of thousands of federal workers. And when information, artificial information, and robotics comes, they're going to throw you out on the street as well. They don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about your kids. And what we have got to do is say, sorry, we are human beings. And we are entitled to certain fundamental economic rights. So no, we are not going to give more tax breaks to billionaires. We're going to demand that they start paying their fair share of taxes. No, we're not going to keep a federal minimum wage of $7.25 an hour. We're going to raise that wage to a living wage. No worker in America should live in poverty. End of discussion. And we're going to pass the PRO Act to make sure that employers cannot act illegally when workers are trying to form unions. We're going to grow the trade union movement. In America, we're not going to turn our backs on our parents and grandparents who helped build this country. We're not going to cut Social Security. We're going to expand Social Security benefits. And by the way, we're going to reestablish defined benefit pensions for workers in this America. Instead of making massive cuts to Medicaid, we must do what every other major country on earth does. It ain't radical. Healthcare is a human right. We're going to guarantee healthcare to all. Through a Medicare for all single-payer system. The function of healthcare is not to make the insurance companies and the drug companies rich. And we're going to stop paying 10 times more for some prescription drugs than the people of other countries. We can lower prescription drugs by 50%. Here in LA, in Burlington, Vermont, and all across this country, we have a major housing crisis. Am I right? And it's not just homelessness. It's people paying 40, 50, 60% of their limited incomes in housing. Instead of spending $1 trillion a year on the military, let's build 5 million units of low-income and affordable housing. Look, I don't have to tell anyone here that this is a difficult moment in the modern history of our country. We've never gone through anything like this. But this is what I do want to say. Despair is not an option. Giving up and hiding under the covers is not acceptable. The oligarchy will concede nothing. They have the wealth. They have the power. They own Congress. They own the White House. They own much of the media. But they don't own us. Now, I'm not going to tell you that it's going to be easy. It's not. We're going to have to fight them door to door, workplace to workplace, school to school, We're going to have to educate. We're going to have to mobilize. We're going to have to stand up in a dozen different ways. But from the bottom of my heart, and I've been to every state of this country, I don't care whether you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, the people of this country do not want oligarchy. They do not want authoritarianism. And they want a government that works for all of us, not just the 1%. Thank you all very much.
I'm Sequoia Ezekwe for Ear to the Streets of Portland on the best community radio station on the planet, KBU Community Radio, KBOO Portland.
Talking about the environment.